I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2 this morning. I would like to begin reading in verse number 1, Exodus 2 and verse number 1. You notice as I read, beginning there with verse 1, "And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off, to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.'" Let's pray now and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts today. Lord Jesus, I do thank you for the privilege to share your word. God, we thank you for our mothers today. Everyone in here could have the same testimony of where would we be if it were not for our moms. Thank you, Lord, for the influence of a godly mother. And God, I pray today that you would encourage us through your word. I pray that you would encourage our moms and our dads as well, and that you would just work in hearts, and you have free reign this hour. In Christ's holy name, amen. Well, in our text this morning, we're reminded of the importance of protecting our family. And we're also reminded of the Egyptian bondage in which the Jews suffered for nearly 400 years. And one of the most reprehensible acts in Scripture was committed by Pharaoh, who commanded that the Jewish midwives kill the male babies as they were born. Into this wicked environment, Moses was born. Yet through his godly mother, God protected him. God would preserve him, because God had a purpose for him. And may I remind you this morning, God has a purpose for your children. I recall many years ago, as we were in Mexico on a missions trip with our young people, and the missionary that we supported down there in Mexico, he had started 10 churches on the border of Mexico. And we arrived at we were doing two vacation Bible schools every day, one in the morning, one in the evening. And one day we arrived earlier than usual at the second church where Pastor Julio was the pastor. And he and his wife, a very sweet couple. And so our missionary, Brother Dwayne Gibson, suggested that his wife share her testimony with us. And just an amazing testimony. So much like the life of Jochebed. We don't much hear the life of Jochebed, the mother of Moses, but what we do know is that she protected her son. She knew God had a purpose for her son. And as this dear lady began to share her testimony, she shared how that when she was a newborn baby, she had a twin sister, and her mother, her biological mother, was unable to provide for her and her sister. And so the mother took the two babies and placed them in a basket and took them to one of the local pastor's front door and left the babies there on his doorstep. He came out and he found the two girls there in that little basket. He didn't know what to do. His wife didn't know what to do. So they took the babies down to the police department. And the police said, well, we don't know what to do. Why don't you just take them back home with you and you raise these two children? And so he did. Him and his wife, this pastor and his wife, would raise those two orphan daughters. They became theirs. They gave them a godly upbringing. They influenced them with the life of Christ, had them in church. And as this dear lady was sharing her testimony of how she was left on the pastor's doorstep, I knew that her youngest daughter's name was Jochebed. And I recall when I first heard that name, I thought, wow, I knew who Jochebed was, but you don't much hear people naming their daughters after Jochebed. And then as I began to hear her testimony, it would all make sense. It all made perfect sense. You see, in this Hispanic lady's mind, the best way that she could honor her biological mother was by naming her daughter Jochebed. Because her mother, biological mother, knew she couldn't care for the kids. And she wanted to honor her mother somehow, some way, even though she had no clue who her real mother was. So she named her daughter Jochebed. And I want you to notice with me this morning the influence of a godly mother. And I want you to notice in the first place the protection of a godly mother. Verse 2, back in our text, and the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Well, first we see that Jochebed protected Moses from the threat of evil. There was a threat of evil that she was protecting him from. She hid Moses, her son, from the evil influence that threatened his very life. In fact, we read over in Hebrews 11 and verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And the faith of his mother gave her the courage to do what was right, not what was convenient. I'm sure it was very stressful. It was very difficult. But she wanted to do what was right in the eyes of God. So she did what was difficult, not what was convenient. And understand, this was at the height of Pharaoh's campaign to destroy every baby in Egypt. And like all moms, she put herself in harm's way to save the life of her son. That was her goal. She wanted to protect him. You know, a true godly mother will do all that they can to make sure that their child knows Christ as their Savior. She not only protected him from the threat of evil there with Pharaoh, but she also protected him from the attacks of Satan. You see, Satan's purpose was to destroy the entire nation of Israel. He was doing it by attacking the family. You see, Pharaoh knew if he could kill off all of the newborn male babies, that he would eliminate future generations of Israel. In essence, what Satan was trying to do, he was trying to attack the family of God. He was trying to stop and halt the growth of Israel in God's plan. And dear friend, I want you to know today, Satan has the same scope on each one of us today. He wants to stop you from having a godly family, from providing protection for your children. He wants to do everything he can to hamper you and your will to serve God. He wants to keep you from bringing your children to church. He wants to do all that he can to keep you from telling your children about Jesus. Listen, parents must live in the reality of an all-seeing God. We read in 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Instead of a God who is great and powerful, omniscient and omnipotent, many see God as an afterthought. And I've said this for years. This coming October, we will have been here at Victory Baptist Church for 30 years. And I have said this from day one, even when I was youth pastor to your children. Make God big to your children. As adults, we need to live in the fear of God. And I'm afraid that we have a very small concept of God today. Well, Jochebed, she knew that Moses was a gift from God. She understood that. She understood that God had a purpose. God had a plan through all of this. And please understand, godly influence always begins with protection based on biblical principles. Godly parents, first and foremost, will set boundaries. Proverbs 31:27, as she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. God has vested authority in his institutions. And by the way, the family was the first institution, even before the church. Now, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, it tells us, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? He continues this same thought over in Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. And the idea there is that from the age of a child, that you are instilling in your child that one day that they would be in search of a life partner who is a believer. Someone who knows Christ as their Savior. I was so excited to see last Sunday when Tyler and his fiance came and told me that they have been engaged. By the way, that is quite a rock he got you there. Really excited for you guys. And I was sharing how we saw these young men grow up here in church, him and his brother Landon. And how that they have, even when their parents aren't here, if their parents are traveling out of town, they're here. Well, you know what that's from? That's from a godly influence from godly parents, training their children to love God. Well, boundaries are not intended to rob us of our joy, but rather they are intended to protect and to produce fruit in our lives. The English poet Samuel Coleridge, he spoke with a skeptic who did not believe that children should be given any religious instruction. The man claimed that the child's mind should not be prejudiced in any direction. And when he became older, he should be permitted to choose his religious opinions for himself, if any. Well, Samuel said nothing. But after a while, he asked the man if he would like to go and see his garden. The man said, well, sure, that sounds like a good idea. So Samuel took him out and down the hill to where his garden was. But the only problem was there was only weeds. There was no garden. And the man looked at Samuel Coleridge in great surprise, and he said, well, this is no garden. He said, why, this is nothing but weeds. I see no flowers. It's just weeds. And to that, Samuel Coleridge said, well, you see, I did not wish to infringe upon the liberty of the garden in any way. I was just giving the garden a chance to express itself and to choose its own production. You know, we have a choice. We can make an influence in the life of a child, or we can just let them go in the direction. And by the way, if God is not leading the direction of a child, I promise you, Satan is. He has a plan, and he will lead them in his plan. So look, you're the one who has done the providing. You go to work every day to provide for your children. Don't allow the devil to have that privilege. That is your privilege and yours only. Don't give it away to the devil. But also, godly parents live by example. Over in 2 Timothy, we see the influence of a godly mother in the life of young Timothy, even with his grandmother. In verse 5, it says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelleth first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that, is in thee also. I am persuaded the very God that I'm following is the very God in which you have taught me." John Wesley said, "I learned more about God from my mother than from all the theologians in England put together." Wow, what a statement. George Washington made the statement, "To all I am and to all I shall ever become, I owe to my godly mother." 1 Timothy 4:16 tells us, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Godly parents live by example, but also godly parents are wise to that which is good. They're wise to the good of God. In fact, Romans 12 and verse 21 tells us, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Romans 16 verse 19, "I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." Now we all know, in the age that we live, I'll guarantee you any third grader in our church could come into my office and do more with my computer than I ever could. In fact, when I have trouble, I usually hunt for a young person to come and fix it. Why? This is what they grew up with. They know it. Technology is a great resource that we have today, but also because of our technology today, our kids are already very wise to the evil of this world. And I'll encourage you, I think one of the most dangerous things a parent can do is to give your child an iPhone or a cell phone, whatever, an iPad, and just have free reign of the internet. I'm going to tell you, that's dangerous. That is not setting boundaries. You say, "Yeah, but I know my kid, and my kid's not going to do that." But let me tell you who will do that: Satan. He knows of the boundaries you've set for your children, and he'll do all that he can to attack them. Listen, we also, another way that we can be a godly influence, or another way we can practice wisdom to that which is good, is by the memorizing of Scripture. Psalm 119 verse 11, "Thy word hath I hidden in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." A matter of memorizing the word of God, but also the idea of teaching your children the word of God. You say, "Well, wait a minute. I didn't think that there was any math involved here." Well, the truth is, you cannot teach your child about God if you do not know God. In fact, we're told in Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by thy way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." In other words, take every opportunity in life as a teaching moment for your children to teach them the Word of God. You know, the greatest thing you can give your children, it's not things, it's not money, it's not even an education. The greatest thing you can give your child today is your time teaching them the Word of God. You know, some have the idea that, "Well, you know, Brother Kenny, my kid is on the honor roll, a honor roll. And I never made the A Honor Roll, so I'm not a fan of those stickers. My kids are on the A Honor Roll. But you know what? More even than an education, the question to ask, that's great if they're on the A Honor Roll, and I don't want to discourage our children from that. You should do the very best you can. And that's wonderful that they're on that A Honor Roll, but let me ask you, who's teaching them about God? Dr. Ken Hay made the statement years ago in a youth pastor's conference. I wrote it down because it was so powerful, and I'd like to share it with you. Dr. Ken Hay, the founder of the Wilds Christian Camp, made this statement. The worst home your child could come from is not an alcoholic's home. It's not a divorce home. It's not a dysfunctional home. The worst home your child could come from is a Christian home that does not practice consistency. Wow, what a statement. And he goes on to say, good kids come from one of two places. They either come from a really, really good home that were taught the Word of God, or they come from a really, really bad home. But they do not come from a mediocre home, a lukewarm Christian home. And get it, the best person to teach your child about God is you. The absolute best. But first, you must know God. You must know Him as your personal Savior. And number two, you must walk in the light of His Word. In other words, you must know some things about God. Mark 1 and verse 15 tells us, in saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Change your mind and believe the gospel. He is speaking primarily here to a Jewish crowd, trying to get them to change their mind that yes, He was the Messiah. Yes, He was the Son of God. He said, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Listen, I encourage you the very same here. If you don't know Christ, change your mind. Change your mind about who He is and about who you are. John 5:24 tells us, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus? It's very simple. What am I believing on? Well, I'm believing on Jesus' death, His burial, and His resurrection, and that He is the living Son of God. That is salvation. Romans 10:13 tells us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? It'll be very difficult for your children to trust Christ if you yourself have never trusted Christ. You say, well, wait a minute. I do believe in God. That's not what I'm asking. What I'm asking is, have you ever placed your faith and belief in His Son, Jesus Christ? James 2 and verse 19 tells us, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. I have shared with you for years, John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. We do not buy into a lordship salvation. In other words, we don't see scripture teaching that in order for a person to be saved, he's immediately going to do the work of ministry and do something for God. But we do believe at some point that individual is going to have some fruit in their life. There's going to be some fruit there at some point. May just be some small raisins, but there should be some fruit if you know Christ. And the truth is, there's many people that will say, well, you know, I do believe in God. I do believe in a higher power. But do you believe in Jesus Christ, the living Son of God? That's the question. First, we see the protection of a godly mother. And then second, I want you to notice the provision of a holy God. You know, we can always rest assured when we do what's right, do all that we can in our Christian life, or for you parents, do all that you can to protect your children and rear them in the knowledge of God's Word, God's going to provide. He's going to provide. So notice the provision of a holy God, verse 7, back in our text. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. Only God could have done that. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. It's so interesting to see how God made provision for Moses once Jochebed did what was right. But also God provided a place for Moses. He provided a place. By the grace of God, he brings Moses to the palace. And then, by the mercy of God, he brings Jochebed to the palace. Jochebed probably at least raised him up until he was 5 or 6 years old there in the palace at the king's expense. And only God could have done that. But also God provided a path for Moses. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 tells us, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." You see, your children will not have to wander through life aimlessly, trying to figure out what to do next. They're not going to have to go through life wiggling doorknobs, trying to figure out if this is the right way to go. You see, when you give them direction in God's word and you train them in the word of God, they're going to know the direction to go. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. made the statement many years ago, "You teach a kid how to live, and you'll never have to worry about that kid making a living." Boy, is that true. We see the protection of a godly mother. We see the provision of a holy God. Now I want you to notice with me the purpose of rearing a godly child. Here it is. Hebrews 11, 24 and 25. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. You see, God had a purpose for the life of Moses. God has a purpose for your children, for your grandchildren, for your great-grandchildren. His purpose in the life of Moses was that Moses would be able to identify with God's people. You see, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Moses grew up to be a man who purposed within his heart to identify with God and God's people. And let me ask you in passing here, do you identify with God? Do you identify with the people of God? If you can't identify with God and the people of God, it's very doubtful you'll ever know the purpose of God. Hebrews 10:25 tells us, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as ye see the day approaching." We should delight in coming together as fellow believers in Christ. This is a great privilege. You know, I think that one day when we get to heaven, we're going to realize we never quite understood the great value of the church. We're going to see that one day. And we're going to think, wow, why didn't I take more advantage of going to church and being there? And we see also Moses, his purpose was to separate from sin. Hebrews 11:25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's amazing when you think about it, because Moses could have had anything he wanted. But because of the influence of a godly mother, he only chose that which was pleasing to God. Moses chose the hardships and the affliction over sin. Dr. Ken Collier, director of the Wilds Christian Camp, made the statement. He said, there are two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. That's it. There are the two choices in life. We can either please God or we can please ourselves. But also, in the life of Moses, his purpose was to wait on God's reward. Hebrews 11:26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses considered his knowledge of Christ far greater than the riches and treasures of Egypt. Moses was not focused on the temporal. He was focused on the eternal. And let me ask you, mom and dad, are you helping your child focus on the eternal? Or would it be all about the temporal? Moses said, I'm going to take the narrow path and just trust God for the outcome. I'm going to take the narrow path and I'm just going to trust God for the reward. You know, we have to come to that place in our hearts and minds that we can understand it's not this side of glory that the rewards will come. Sure, God will give us blessings along the way, and we're so thankful for those blessings. But ultimately, it will be there in glory. I'm not sure who wrote this poem. I came across it some years ago. It's called A Mother's Influence. I took a piece of plastic clay and idly fashioned it one day. And as my fingers pressed it still, it moved and yielded at my will. I came again when days were past. The form I gave it, still it bore. And as my fingers pressed it still, I could change that form no more. I took a piece of living clay and gently formed it day by day and molded with my power and art a young child's soft and yielding heart. I came again when days were gone. It was a man I looked upon. He still that early impress bore, and I could change it nevermore. As we come to a close today, I want to encourage you. The temporal avails in the life of a child will fade in time. However, the impress of Christ in the life of a child shall glow for ages and ages hence. Proverbs reminds us in chapter 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time together with our people. Lord Jesus, help us to realize the time at hand. Lord, help us to take advantage of every opportunity we get. And Lord, I am so thankful for our mothers here today. We are thankful that we have moms who are doing the very best they can to make a difference in their child's life. God, I pray you'd help us to seize the opportunity, to seize the moment, because one day this time will be gone. Those 18 years go by very fast. And before we know it, they'll be out on their own. So Lord, help us now to take advantage of this great privilege and opportunity you've given to us to make God big to our children. And we thank you, Lord, for what you'll do. In Christ's holy name, amen. Brother Mike, what's our number? It's 333. page 331.